Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we ask that grant us grace to forgive as you taught us. When we struggle to let go of hurt, I ask you to remind us of your unending mercy. I ask that you help us to forgive not only 7 times, but 70 times 7, as we imitate your love in our hearts. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, my brothers and sisters, we explore one of the most challenging requirements of being a Christian. It's called forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 22, Peter asked Jesus about forgiveness. The scripture reads, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. See, as we consider Peter's question, we see a person just like any one of us who's trying to understand the concept of forgiveness. A person trying to seek just a little bit of clarity, a little bit of understanding on how many times they should extend grace to those who wrong them. Jesus' response not only surprised Peter, but it leads to a much deeper understanding of what it means to forgive. I'm sure that y'all can relate to Peter's inquiry. In the course of our lives, we've all been hurt by friends, especially family, co-workers, and even strangers. Each time we faced an offense, a transgression, we were forced to decide, will we forgive the person? And if we do, how many times are we going to do that? I don't know if it's a human nature thing or just a tendency for us to remember each and every time that somebody has done something wrong to us. We say things like, Mike keeps borrowing money and not paying it back. This is the 2nd time that he did it. Or Mary keeps forgetting to get the mail. This is the 3rd time this week that she didn't do it. Forgiveness can feel sometimes excessive, especially when we believe. No, that's not the word. When we know that the other person has wronged us over and over and over again. When Jesus replied, until 70 times 7, he's not being literal. He's not saying that on the 491st time, we can do whatever we want to that person because we gave them enough chances. What he's telling us to do is to have an attitude of limitless, endless, boundless, never-ending forgiveness in our hearts and our souls. This echoes his teachings that are found in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 to 4, where Jesus tells us, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The very heart of Jesus' teaching is that forgiveness should be a continuing, ongoing practice, and one that mirrors the infinite grace that we receive from God each and every day. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 echoes this sentiment by saying, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I know that forgiveness isn't easy. It's a complex thing. And that's just putting it lightly. It doesn't mean overlooking or excusing for offenses. It doesn't erase the pain or the consequences of actions that were taken either. What forgiveness is an act of releasing that burden on our shoulders that we carry. It's a choice that we have to make in order to free ourselves from the chains of resentment and bitterness that binds us down and holds us. When we choose to forgive, we're following in the footsteps of Jesus. We need to accept the fact that we're flawed, that we're imperfect beings that are desperately in the need of God's grace. The cross represents the ultimate act of forgiveness of Jesus. It showed his willingness to bear our sins and offer us reconciliation with God. The Father, in spite of, I think that's the best word to describe our constant and repeated offenses. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15 tells us about the dangers of not forgiving. It reads, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Do we really want God to not forgive us when we make mistakes? I know that I do. And I've been told, I haven't witnessed any of it, but I've been told that I make them. Jesus challenges us to not just to forgive repeatedly, but to cultivate in our heart an inclination to forgive others. Being forgiven doesn't mean that we have to become doormats. It doesn't mean that we have to allow ourselves to be mistreated over and over again. What it does mean is that we have to learn to approach forgiveness as a continuous process, one that requires prayer and sometimes the support of our family and friends. And because of that, forgiveness is not only an individual act, it's a communal one. As a church, and specifically as the body of Christ, we're called to foster an environment where forgiveness flows out of our hearts and out of our mouths freely. We must support one another in our struggles to forgive and hold each other accountable to the grace that God has extended to each and every one of us. You see, this trait, it's vital. Because if we don't have forgiveness in our hearts, it can worsen. It can poison us. And it can poison our relationships from the inside out. It can create division, resentment, and minimize our ability to witness to the world. After all, how can we tell someone to be Christ-like if we're not being Christ-like ourselves? Amen? There's a saying that you have to not only talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from? When we embody forgiveness, we become living testimonies of God's love and peace. We show the world that the gospel is not just words in the book, but a transforming power that can heal hearts, minds, and souls, and can restore those broken relationships. Now, don't underestimate the challenges that come with forgiveness. We live in a world that celebrates retribution over reconciliation. We hear messages that encourage holding grudges and seeking revenge. Messages that tell us that it's us against the world and that caring is for people who don't want to get ahead. That you got to be cutthroat and ruthless and careless. As a matter of fact, it's in the music that plays on the radio each and every day. Come on now. As followers of Jesus, we're called to a higher standard. And we have to make sure that we live up to that standard. Amen? In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, as Jesus is dying on the cross, he says those famous words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here we see the ultimate act of forgiveness, because Jesus is forgiving those that are nailing him to the cross, those that have nailed him. He's suffering. He's in pain. He is dying. And these are the words that are coming out of his mouth. Now, if he can forgive those that are crucifying him, then I'm sure that we can find it in our hearts, the strength necessary to forgive those people who have wronged us, no matter what we're going through. Because I'm sure it can't compare to that. Forgiveness can be especially difficult in the situations where we feel we were betrayed and we're suffering for it. It requires us to acknowledge that we are in pain and the seriousness of that situation that occurred. We may even need to go through a process of grieving in order to heal before we can extend that much needed grace and forgiveness to others. But it's essential to remember that forgiveness is not a one-time thing. It's a journey, one that may require repeated acts of letting go of that pain. And as one of my seminary professors used to say on a regular, but now that I'm understanding it, it's called that we need to trust the process. There's a method to the madness. When we forgive, we release the heavy burden that we carry on our shoulders, that bitterness, that grief, that stress. We allow ourselves to experience healing, both emotionally and spiritually. It opens the door to deeper relationships, and it restores our ability to genuinely love one another. My brothers and sisters, I want you to reflect on Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 22, because we need to remember that forgiveness is not merely an act. It's a posture of the heart. It's an invitation to enter into an alignment with God. And not only that, it allows us to extend that much needed grace that we receive from God to others. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.